have some veteran advice. It's time for you to go, because your time is way up, but my time is now, because the champ is here!
Welcome to episode 40 of the Second Shift podcast, a predominantly British outlook on the world of wrestling. You can contact the show anytime by emailing us at secondshiftpod@gmail.com or via Twitter at secondshiftpod. Now, let's find out who we've got on the show this week. Firstly, joining us in the show for the first time in a while, and the first time ever with myself from the land of the leprechauns, it's Dermot. How are you doing?
The land of the leprechauns on the predominantly British show. I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm all right. It's that predominantly British show got added, especially because I've got you on, and obviously we've got Dan on in a minute who we'll come to. Secondly, he's only a little bit taller than your average leprechaun. Joining us again this week, it's Kai.
Hi, you all right, Paul?
All right, how are you?
Not too bad. I'm looking forward to this. It's been a good week of wrestling, and I'm looking forward to seeing whether I got any of my predictions right from the chamber.
We'll come to that in a little bit. Okay, also joining us from the US of A, where they actually do believe that leprechauns do exist. From the allwrestling.com week in review, it's Dan the Cannon. How are you, Dan?
I'm doing fantastic. Thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
You're very welcome. Good to have you on the show. And we've got a good mixed bag of content to touch on this week. And first of those is an email from Andy Anderson. So we're going to get straight into things by finding out what Andy's got to ask us this week.
Cheerio, gents. Double A here. Have a couple questions for you. Question number one. On the DSJMP live commentary of the most recent pay-per-view, there was a discussion about comparing NXT divas and the main roster divas. Should we even compare them? What do you guys think?
So we'll pause it there, because there's obviously a second question coming, because it's a good two-minute call from Andy. Should we be comparing divas from NXT to the main roster? We'll start with you, Dan, actually, your thoughts on this one.
That is a bit of comparing apples to oranges, simply because of the time they're allotted, the expectations, and not to mention that it always seems like you get some type of tag match or more than singles matches on Raw for whatever reason. You just don't get those 15-minute clinics like we've grown accustomed to on NXT.
Absolutely right. And the stuff that they've been putting out, especially on their specials, has been absolutely fantastic, top-notch wrestling from the ladies there. And it's good to see that that's what we're going to be getting in the future in the main roster when they finally do make it up there. Kai, do you have any opinion on this one?
Well, yeah, as right as Dan is by saying that it's like comparing apples and oranges, we've also got to put into account, though, that, you know, these girls are wanting to fight to get off of NXT, as Dan seems to have to reiterate every week on the Week in Review. They're trying to fight to get off. We should be comparing them, because we want the women on the main roster to be better than those in NXT. And by us comparing them, it should give them the fight that they need to get better and improve.
So to kind of expand on that a little bit, Dermot, do you think that when they do finally get the chance to make it to the main roster, that there's going to be a dilution of what we're getting from them in NXT at the moment, or do you think they're going to be able to keep their game up at that level?
Well, you would like to believe that they'll be able to keep their game up at that level, but all the evidence that we see from the divas on the main roster at the moment is that they just aren't taken as seriously as the divas on NXT, like especially in the way that they're booked. I mean, the Bellas just changed heel again on Raw, maybe. I'm not even entirely sure who was meant to be the heel or the face in that match. Naomi had a great run as a heel for a month, and now she's completely off TV again. It just seems that the divas, there's no long-term planning in that division. It's just whatever they come up with on that particular night, and it doesn't really allow them to tell a story, so there's not as much emotion invested going into the matches, and then they don't get as much time either. So I think it's a lot harder for the divas on the main roster.
Yeah, I think that's a very valid point. Dan, do you think that we can attribute all of the success of the divas to the likes of Sierra Del Rey in the training section?
I don't know about all, but I think it's certainly, there's a culture. I mean, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. And when everyone's really subscribing to the same philosophy, it makes it a lot easier to get in line. And it's very weird what's going on right now, because it's almost unprecedented where the divas in NXT are setting the standard for the divas on Raw. It usually works the opposite way. So this really is unprecedented. And it really lets you know that in the very near future, the divas division is going to be in a much better place than it ever has been before. The writing is evident, and it's on the wall.
Yeah, and Kai, would you say that you know, over the last 6 months, with what we've been seeing from NXT, would you say there's been any progression at all on the main roster?
I'm not sure whether there's been a massive load of progression, but I think that we've seen that through the Give Divas a Chance movement and all that, you know, they've realised that, shit, they've got to step it up. And, yeah, it's been a slow progression, but I think it'll grow going into the future.
Fair enough. Let's get back to Andy's email and find out the second part of what he's got to say to us this week.
Question number two. Now on Wednesday, sounds like it's going to be a very wrestling-filled Wednesday coming up with NXT, ROH, Lucha Underground, and TNA. Are you guys going to check any of that out? I know you guys will probably watch it later or stream it later or anything like that. Will you guys be watching any of that, and how would you rank them?
Right, so I can quickly answer this from my perspective.
And then it's the third easy thing.
We'll get into the third thing in a minute. The other thing, for me, I'll be watching virtually everything. I don't know if I've done about ROH. I've never really been into ROH. I've never had the chance to really find out much about the product and what they're doing. But NXT is the only one we really get on a Wednesday night. Lucha Underground we get if you go onto YouTube or whatever after the fact, so you can get the stream from there. And TNA we don't really get officially in the UK till Sunday. So for us, it's only really NXT on the Wednesday. And even then, that's not until like 12, 1 o'clock at night. So no real change for us on that side of things. But I would be keen to see whether ROH manages to get some sort of platform over here to start being screened on TV off the back of getting TV time in America. Dan, now, you're in America. You've got better access to all these things than we have. What are your plans for Wednesday nights?
Yeah, it's odd because Wednesdays has always been kind of like a dormant night in any wrestling viewing experience for Americans anyways. And now it's the be-all, end-all, the big night outside of WWE. And I have to be honest, I never really realized like how lazy I am. Like I'm a ringside member to Ring of Honor. It's readily accessible, I think, on my phone. And I've never really kind of checked it out unless there's something big going on or someone gives me a reason. But for some reason, when it becomes available on my cable and it's just as easy as hitting record and it's there waiting for me when I wake up, that's how I started my morning. If anyone who followed me on Twitter this morning, I was woke up with breakfast and Ring of Honor. It was great. So it's already changed the way I view. And I'm all for it. I love it all condensed on one night. It kind of gives you a mental checkpoint of where you're at in the week with wrestling instead of so many shows every single day. I like that the quick cluster and burst all at one time.
What are your priorities of the four then? What's your must watch first?
NXT for me, then Lucha Underground, then Ring of Honor, then TNA, believe it or not. That would be my current, as far as at least what I look forward to the most.
Doesn't surprise me in the slightest. I'm going to jump to you, Dermot. Now, what are your wrestling watching habits with regards to these four programs?
Well, I suppose that obviously, like you were saying, we don't get them all on Wednesday. But obviously, when I come home from work on Thursday, NXT is available on the network. So yep, I'll normally check that out on Thursday. And the next priority after that for me, same as Dan, is Lucha Underground. I've kind of fallen off TNA completely. I've lost all interest in it. And I've never really followed ROH like week to week. I'll just check out if someone recommends a particular match. But now that they are getting this national cable deal, I might be more inclined to check it out for a while, give them a chance. Like when the same as I did when TNA moved to Destination America, I was willing to give them a chance, but I wasn't able to stick with it for too long.
Yeah, I'll come back to my thoughts on TNA in a little bit. Kai, where do you fit in all this?
Well, it's funny how Dan mentioned the whole being a bit lazy thing, because that kind of fits to me as well, because when it came to NXT, before we had the network here in the UK and we had to go and look for it online somewhere, I never used to really check it out. I checked it out like a couple of the TakeOver specials, but now since I've got the network and it's readily available to me on my iPad whenever I need it, I'll check it out. When it comes to like TNA, I've tried and I just couldn't get into it, mainly because I don't have enough hours in the week. I don't have that much time. And my two things that I commit to, I've had to sit down and say, right, I'm committing to Raw and NXT. I've put NXT above SmackDown now. I'll check out SmackDown when I get a bit of time, but Raw and NXT are my viewing habits at the moment.
Yeah, if you spent less time playing with your dolls, you might have more time for actually watching the product. So I'm going to quickly jump in on TNA here for a little minute. Now, 2 weeks ago on the show, that I said that I was giving TNA one more month before I decided whether I was going to stop watching or not. And one of the things I said to DRG about recently was I'm going to look at watching it in a different slot in the week to see if I'm paying attention to it more, enjoying it more that way. And last night, I finally got around to watching last week's TNA. So watching it on a Wednesday night when the next one's actually being shown was a bit odd, but there you go. But I actually did enjoy it much more last night. The Wolves versus Austin Aries and Robert Roode was a really good match. I particularly enjoyed watching that. And there was a lot more going on in the show as well last week. So I think I'm going to give TNA that bit more of an opportunity. Make sure I'm watching the next couple of weeks at a decent slot where I can pay attention to what's going on and maybe see if there is something worth salvaging out of this and whether or not the Ring of Honor build-up to TNA on Destination America makes them up their game a little bit more as well over the next few weeks. That'd be interesting to see. Anyway, that's my thoughts. And now let's jump back into the third part of Andy's call.
It's more of a just a comment to try and help H out. On the AWWIR podcast, he mentioned how the network, when he goes to it, takes him to a homepage, and for like the special events, it's been spoiling him. I don't know how you've been accessing it, but I find if you access it with your computer and bookmark the schedule or the search part, that's what I do. It bypasses the homepage and takes you right to the part where you can select what you want to watch. So bypass it and take you right to the pay-per-view packages. I also tweeted the ask.
Right, wait a minute, Andy. You were coming back to, I didn't realize it was 4 points in this. Kai, straight to you on this, obviously. He's directly talking to you on this one.
Yeah.
We know where he's coming from on this.
Yeah, well, obviously I got a bit angry about it and decided to vent my frustrations to the Week in Review earlier this week. And I see where he's coming from, where he's coming from with this idea. And it would work if I had a PC to actually watch the network on, but I watch it from my iPad, where you can't do that. Unfortunately, no. I've now got used to having quick fingers, where I've got to quickly get off that page without seeing what's on the front page. But we shouldn't have to do that. And I think Dan covered it well on the Week in Review, and you know, the ideas that you gave, Dan, I thought were a great idea, and I hope that WWE are listening.
Well, I certainly have not got to that part in the Week in Review yet. I'm hoping to get through most of it later on tonight, but for now, I've got to take Dan's word on what he said here. So Dan, fill us in on what you said in the Week in Review about this.
I very easily said that they should allow us to control the homepage on the WWE app. That's one of the options they have. So if you want it to open on WWE.com, great. If you want it to open on WWE Shop, great. If you want the network to open, there you have it. Yep. Or the other option is just to flat out make a whole new WWE Network app that is exclusively dedicated to the network only. And then all the other content is on the WWE app. So this way you're tapping right into the WWE Network mainframe straight off the jump with the new app, or control the homepage, like I said.
I think the latter sentence is like a really sensible solution to the situation, and that's what I personally prefer. But I mean, Kai, when it comes to when I go into the screen, I know I've been caught out by it as well. I've now got to the point, and especially after a pay-per-view, taking a bit of paper with me and positioning it on the iPad screen as soon as I tap the app button. Bit of paper goes on, and then I tap the menu so that I can get to the network without actually seeing anything on that screen.
But we shouldn't have to do that. We shouldn't have to do that, exactly.
But anyway, that's that. And I think there's one last bit of Andy's call we can jump to just now.
WWE Network, I believe that's the moniker, and kind of offered any questions or suggestions to them. They've helped me out in the past, so if you have any problems with your network, that's the best way to get a hold of them. That's my thoughts this week, and that's been my nickel.
All right, so he's suggesting tweeting the WWE Network with your issues and concerns. Something you might do?
Yeah, and Andy did it for me earlier today, so thank you, Andy.
He's permanently attached to his Twitter machine, isn't he?
Yeah.
And a great job he does with it too. Okay, we're going to move on to the next part of the show. And Dermot, I hope you're ready, because we're going to jump into the Supersonic Second Shift news. You ready to go?
Oh yeah, let me just get my news reading voice ready.
Well, I'll get the 17 seconds intro in first, and that'll give you a few seconds to get ready.
And now, the Supersonic Second Shift news!
that is a fancy intro. Right. Actor Stephen Amell of the sci-fi show Arrow is set to perform at SummerSlam, it appears, in a match against Stardust. Devil Vamp has, quote, creamed himself. AJ Styles has said recently that he has refused an offer to return to TNA. Word is that he's just about as interested in working with TNA as Destination America are.
Ooh.
WWE will be airing a live supercard from Tokyo, Japan on July 4th, which will feature the NXT title match. And rumors state that the show is also set to feature Brock Lesnar taking on Kofi Kingston. Kofi is doing his best to remain positive and has been heard clapping backstage, subject to change, subject to change. And finally, Justin Gabriel has revealed that he was the one in the bunny suit all along with Adam Rose, stating, "It was me, damn it! It was me all along."
Nice, short and concise news this week. Good job on that, Dermot. Kai, were there any particular stories in there that you found interesting?
The supercard. It seems like that's going to be an amazing event coming out of Japan. The filming it, I believe what I've read is that the filming it for the network is going to be at 6:30 in the morning on the 5th of July, 6th of July, something like that. And
whose time?
6:30 a.m. Eastern. So it'll be our time, about our late morning, won't it?
Yeah,
that'll be brilliant for us. And then it'll be, well, for someone who doesn't have work like me. and then that's going to have Chris Jericho, John Cena, Brock Lesnar, and the big NXT match between Kevin Owens and Finn Balor. So it sounds like a brilliant event, yeah.
Yeah, it's certainly looking very interesting. And to see the response to the Japanese crowd in with the WWE, we've seen what happens when we put the TNA in front of them. Hopefully we'll get a much better response from WWE. Dan, what are your thoughts on this supercard?
Well, I don't know. Is this what Psycho D was talking about with the Super Juniors and all that good stuff?
I'm not sure. I've not seen what Psycho D's been talking about, so I can't say either way, to be honest.
Dan, this is a card that's going to be on the 5th of July, 6:30 a.m. in the morning, your time, and it's
holy
got yeah, it's got John Cena, Brock Lesnar, Chris Jericho, and Kevin Owens versus Finn Balor for the NXT title on the card at the moment.
That's not true, is it?
Yeah, it's on WWE.com.
Being streamed live on the network, coming from it was originally meant to be a house show in Japan.
Really? I had not heard about that. Yeah. That is very interesting to me. I'd love to see it. I don't know. That's right around the time I wake up, actually. So that's actually quite perfect. I'll check it out for sure. That's exciting.
Yeah, it does sound like a good card as well. So I'm sure there'll be more details come out over the next few weeks as well as to what's going to be on the card. Dermot, will you be watching it?
But real quick, that's the great thing about the WWE Network is you could tap into a live house show from Japan just because of a scheduling error. I mean, that's just, you have such a powerful platform now. That's what's so awesome about it. Sorry to interrupt
Absolutely.
Yeah, no, I'll definitely be checking it out. From what I was reading, Brock Lesnar had agreed to go over to Japan anyway because he was visiting a friend. And he said while he was there he'd do the house show, and then I think because of that maybe they decided that they'd air it on the network, and now with the NXT match and Finn Balor's amazing history in Japan, I'd say it should be a really good show, and I'd say the crowd will be really into it, so I'm looking forward to it a lot.
Absolutely right, I totally agree. I have to say for me as well, when I heard that Brock was facing Kofi in a house show, I hadn't realised it was going to be in Tokyo, Japan either, so the two different stories hadn't connected at first in my mind, but now see they're all on that one show. It's actually looking to be a very good one, so I'll certainly be checking it out. It'll probably end up being the Sunday for me, but that's the way these things work out when you've got a family to think about. one thing that I just kind of wanted to comment on was AJ Styles refused to say that he'd go back to TNA. That doesn't surprise me in the slightest. I think he's obviously quite happy, quite well set up with what he's got going on at the moment. I didn't imagine him going back to TNA anytime soon anyway. Of course, the question of will he ever jump to the WWE is another one to be considered at some point down the line, but I don't see again that happening anytime very soon. I think Joe's going to keep plenty of attention on him for a while. So that's just my thoughts based on the news. Dan, are you there?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I can't. It's your damn accent. I thought you said Kai, not Dan.
I said
Dan, I'm from England, only down the road, and even I can't even understand him most of the time.
Shut up. I'll cut you off this call. It's quite easy, you know. Sorry, Dan, did you hear all of Derham's news stories there?
Yeah, I mean, what's the deal with AJ? I mean, is he kind of trying to clear his schedule maybe a little bit? What do you guys think about that? Because we've heard recently that maybe an about-face on WWE's behalf as far as maybe giving him a developmental deal. Have you guys heard that story as well?
I've heard it, but I just don't imagine that he's going to be jumping anytime soon. If Joe's getting all the attention he's got at the moment, is it going to just be too many people fighting for that little spot?
At the same time, though, like if someone's coming in, like with Owens and Zayn, like they come in together, they've buttered their bread together, they work so well with one another, it only makes sense they come in. Joe and AJ, same type of thing. They work so well with each other. It would be such a benefit for AJ to be able to work with Joe in developmental for any of his critics or detractors. To see him work a match with Joe, it's one of the very best matches you'll ever watch. But it's kind of a pipe dream. It's just something I'd personally like to see actually happen.
Do we know anything about his contractual obligations at the moment? Anyone?
About AJ's or some or Joe's?
Yeah, AJ's.
Oh, sorry. No, I'm not too sure.
Mm-hmm. Just wondering if he's got any kind of tie-ins.
Yeah, I did read a story that like Joe, although he was originally signed to a deal that was allowing him to work other dates in independence and ROH shows, now WWE have been so impressed with how his merch sales have gone already that they want to get an exclusive deal and fast-track him to the main roster.
Absolutely, I heard that same story as well, and it can only be believed, to be honest, I can certainly see that as soon as they saw those numbers coming in, they wanted to, you know, take advantage of them as much as they possibly could. And I certainly, if I was the WWE, I'd want him on the main roster like now, but whether that can happen or not, I don't know. He's tied up with dates up until into July.
Did anybody order a Samoa Joe t-shirt?
Not yet. I'm actually tempted to, though.
I did. I pre-ordered mine. And it's kind of like a little microcosm here. One out of four people probably have pre-ordered a Samoa Joe shirt, at least as far as hardcore wrestling fans go. And that, like you guys said, that's how you get fast-tracked immediately.
Absolutely right. And it's big money when you start thinking of those kind of numbers. I'm going to jump from the Second Shift News into our next spot for the night to keep things flowing. We're going to jump into a quick look back at the Elimination Chamber. And I assume you've all seen that this week, guys?
Yep.
All right, okay, I'm just going to bring up the sheet where we had all the predictions from last week. And,
oh, dear.
Well, there's a few we got way wrong here, let's be honest. So let's start, of course, with the kickoff show. And what were your thoughts on the kickoff show, Kai, this week?
What match? There wasn't a match, was it? Oh, no, there was a Stardust match again, wasn't there?
Yeah.
Stardust versus... Zack Ryder,
yeah.
I wasn't impressed. It was the same as the last one with Stardust in it. You know, I like Cody Rhodes, I like Stardust, but these thrown together last minute pre-show matches, they belong on Superstars, like we said last time. I wasn't really impressed with it at all.
I was really hoping we were going to get something a bit more interesting out of that match with Zack Ryder having had that match with John Cena on Raw. I thought, are they going to showcase Zach a bit more here? We're going to start seeing a bit of a build for Zach. Is that the plan? Is that what we're getting here ultimately? But no, it wasn't. What did you think of the match overall, Dermot?
Yeah, like you, I kind of expected after his showing in the Open Invitational Challenge on Monday that he was going to have a bit of a better performance on the pre-show match. But I guess if that's true about, that story about Stephen Amell facing Stardust is true, then they probably have to keep Stardust a little bit strong for SummerSlam as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, it just seemed like a strange match to book. There's been no interaction between the two whatsoever, and it was just very thrown together, like a lot of the pre-show matches have been recently. And the other segment on the pre-show with Daniel Bryan on Miz TV, like, I am a huge Daniel Bryan fan, and I normally enjoy most of the things that he did, but I didn't really enjoy that section at all. And, well, it was probably because the new Mega Powers were involved, and they're just ruining anything that they're involved with at the moment.
Anything but Mega Powers.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, the one thing that came out of that, the only thing that really came out of that was just the announcement that Daniel isn't retiring. He is definitely coming back at some point, however long that may take. So at least that's one thing we'll have to look forward to, is he will be back in the ring at some point, assuming nothing, you know, backtracks his recovery, and then when he comes back, he doesn't end up with yet another injury, because that would just be an absolute nightmare. Dan, your thoughts on the pre-show for the Elimination Chamber?
Quite honestly, I think it's got awful time management. They have plenty of time throughout the month or a couple of weeks to build a match that matters on the pre-show. And you kind of see like this do we even need a pre-show anymore? Like, maybe to warm the crowd up, yes, and maybe that's why the matches matter less, but essentially the pre-show used to be to sell the pay-per-view. But if you already have the WWE Network, how many people are you actually hooking? Does anybody watch it via YouTube or your cable provider? I don't think many. So it's like the whole thing is kind of dated, and it's just not a... I don't know. The philosophy needs to change. I do like how they've done in the last couple of years. Renee, they'll have a pre-show panel. And maybe they just need to do that. But I would have no problem with the match that actually mattered in the pre-show match. And that's something you could do if you had point systems and stuff like that. You can make a match on the fly that matters and counts for something, unlike this pointless match.
Yeah, and I think the pre-show being an hour needs to be cut to half an hour, especially for the lesser pay-per-views. Keep the hour-long kickoff shows for the big four, I suppose, would be the best way of doing it. Kai, do you have any other thoughts on that?
No, I think Dan hit it right, the nail right on the head there. You know, make it matter and people are watching, care about it.
Yeah. Okay, so let's just jump into the main card and we'll start talking about the 12-man tag team match with the New Day, the Lucha Dragons, Tyson Kidd and Cesaro, the Primetime Players, the Ascension and Los Matadores. Before we get your thoughts on the match, let's have a look at what the predictions said for that. I had said I'd like to see Kidd and Cesaro. Ant was hoping that Harper and Rome were going to get in there, but if not, it was going to be the New Day. Walker said New Day, Kai, you said New Day, and Kiwi Tuts also said Kidd and Cesaro. So three people out of five got the New Day correct. What did you think of the match, Kai?
It's exactly what I texted you and said. I said it was very spotty. Because you asked me, like, what do you think of the match before you were able to watch it? And I said, it's very spotty, but I think it worked. You know, I think we realised quite early on why Los Matadores had been put into that match. You know, the secret was out. It was so that they could throw the bull around. But, you know, I enjoyed it. I thought it was a fun match. It's the first of its kind, and I hope that they do it again at the next Elimination Chamber or No Way Out or whatever it is, pay-per-view.
Yeah, as I said to you in return to that, I said I thought I expected it to be a spotty match, and that's what we got, and I really enjoyed it. I thought it was good fun. There are certain things you could change, certain things you could switch out, swap in other guys for, but overall, I actually quite enjoyed it, so I'm not going to complain about it in any which way. Dermot, did you enjoy it?
Yeah, I thought it was the better of the two Elimination Chamber matches on the night, and I found some of the booking was really interesting. Like, they seem to be trying to maybe rebuild the Ascension again a little bit, which is going to take a lot of work after what they've done to them. But having them get two eliminations in a row in quick succession, I suppose, was a start on the right path. And obviously now it seems like Primetime Players are going to be the new program, which in hindsight has kind of worked out well for them, because if they had a Stoke with Kidd and Cesaro, I think Tyson Kidd has got injured on Monday night, so he could be out for a good while. So it'll be interesting to see where Cesaro goes now.
Yeah, and Dan, as far as you're concerned, you're happy with the Primetime Players getting more TV time over the next few weeks?
Yeah, definitely. I think they deserve it, and it's now or never, especially when you reform a tag team. It's like, why did you reform them? Because obviously you thought they had some juice, so let's extract it. And this is the best way to at least see what you have with the Primetime Players. Are they as over as everyone thought they were, or was it just that everyone, for a brief moment in time, loved saying millions of dollars? I mean, it's, you could argue that that was the case, that the catchphrase was more over than the characters, and that's never a good thing.
No. And do you think there's any way of salvaging the Ascension based on, you know, their performance in that match?
Yeah, I still think you're going to get a guaranteed heel response with them, and that's really essentially what you're looking for. It's not like anyone wants to crown them and call them king. You just want them to be good role players, a good heel tag commodity, and I think you have that in the Ascension, essentially. I mean, are they great? No, but you'd probably pop for them if they were.
Yeah, and then talking about the kind of spottiness of the match, Kai, the heart of that, you have to look at the Dragons and the Bull, obviously. Lucha Dragons, I think, are just fantastic when it comes to that kind of match and the kind of entertainment they can put on with some of the spots they're going to pull off. Do you think they've got a chance of getting tag team gold anytime soon?
I think they will eventually. I think the New Day are going to have a longer reign than we realise. I don't think they'll be losing it in the next month or maybe 2 months. That when they've had like a solid 4 month reign, then I can see them dropping it. But I can't see the New Day dropping it anytime soon. But yeah, the Lucha Dragons are going to be at least one time tag champions by the end of their, you know, run as a tag team.
Yeah, and as far as the New Day is concerned, I'll jump to you, Dermot, on this one. The more heel tactics they can pull out of their bag over the next couple of months, that's just going to prolong that reign, do you agree?
Oh, yeah, I mean, they are pretty much they're getting the most heat of anyone on the roster, maybe apart from Seth Rollins right now. So I think they have to, they don't, like, there's not that many heels in powerful positions, so they need to use the New Day while they can and get all the juice out of it that they can get.
I think the argument on that side of things is really, did we ever predict that Kofi Kingston would be involved in so much heat?
No, like, it's crazy to think that Kofi Kingston is, like, one of the biggest heels that they have on the roster at the moment, but he's doing a good job.
A big heel with a great big smile. Dan, your thoughts on the New Day going forward, and how long can they keep this title for?
Yeah, they've proven now that the more segments you give them and the more mic time and you give them, the better they make segments, and you're being able to build other tag teams through them. They're just a really hot, they're hot right now. They've captured Lightning in the bottle, and it's smart for WWE to not only extract it from their tag team as champions, but also get Kofi going in the singles capacity. That's how you make the most out of everybody.
Yeah. Can you say safely then that the much wanted rebuilding of the tag division is complete, or do you think there's still ways to go?
Personally, I think there's still quite a ways to go. I had predicted personally that they should have had Enzo and Cass come up and take out the Los Matadores. Yeah. I think that would have been the much better way to go for the Chamber tag team. And I would have had them win as well, personally. But I guess in due time, they'll get theirs. But I just thought this was, if you're just going to have them chase forever in NXT, why not just call them up? They're so over. People are only going to love saying soft for so long. It's like, how long is too long to keep them down?
Yeah. And Kai, just one last thought on the kind of tag team side of things. Harper and Rowan, where do they get their bit of attention going forward from here?
Well, this is where I'm a bit confused with it, because once Ant said it last week about, or the other week about the Harper and Rowan coming in and getting into the Elimination Chamber, that's what I thought was going to happen, and it didn't happen. And it kind of makes you think, well, have they reunited them at the wrong time? Should they have held off for another 2 months until there's a dip in the tag teams and when we need new champions? Because the New Day are running strong as the heel tag team at the moment. Do we really need Harper and Rowan together yet?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of questions surrounding that going forward. Let's jump into the next match on the card, and I'm just bringing it back up. We've got Nikki Bella defeating Paige and Naomi. Now, this is where we go back to the sheet, Kai. And last week, we very clearly all said, apart from you, that Naomi was going to win. You went for Paige. Nobody thought Nikki was coming out of that match with the belt.
Yeah, that's,
how long can you be?
Well, people keep saying, I don't know, who is it that keeps bringing up that apparently the Bellas are leaving soon? And everyone was saying I think Ant was saying the other week that, you know, the Bellas are leaving soon and this is their last pay-per-view. I haven't heard anything. I think they're trying to make out that she's one of the longest reigning champions, and they're trying to erase the sort of AJ Lee reign, possibly.
Yep.
I don't know.
We've certainly been very clear about stating how many days she's been champ, and that's going to be something to watch over the next few weeks as well. Did you enjoy the match, Kai?
It was one of the ones that I had to skip through, if I'm quite honest, and I haven't had a chance to go back. And I watched bits and bats of it, but it was fast forward for me, really.
I didn't particularly enjoy it myself. I thought it was okay. I think it serviced a few bits and pieces, but nothing really interested me in the match. I did watch it all the way through, but I didn't really enjoy it that much. Dermot, did you think much of it?
Yeah, I watched it all as well. And a bit like yourself, I didn't really enjoy it that much. I mean, I think all the three like girls in it, they all worked hard. They did their best, but I just don't think it really came together too well. It was a bit too stop-start, and there was one or two botched spots, and I don't know, it wasn't the best match. And I just wasn't too happy with the outcome, because I really don't like Nikki Bella a lot. I was hoping we might get a new champion.
Okay, Dan, are we particularly critical now because we see what's going down in NXT? Do we criticise the women on the main roster and their matches even more now because of it?
Yeah, I think there's some merit to that statement. I do. I think people have a vision in their head of what it can be, and then they look at what it currently is, and they see a disparaging difference. So, of course, you're going to criticize the product on screen. I think that kind of comes with the territory anyways with the Bellas, just because they're just not looked at as great technical workers. They're looked at pretty faces who caught a great break because they're twins, let's be honest. So they always catch that criticism anyways, which is why they are natural-born heels. But
I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I think the Bellas are great characters, the best WWE has right now as far as divas go.
Yeah.
And I really do feel Naomi should be the next divas champ. Until that happens, I'm really turning a blind eye until that happens, because to me, she is head and shoulders above the rest as far as main roster divas go.
Cool. Let's go on to the next match on the card. What Kevin Owens defeating John Cena. And, well, personally, I loved the match. I thought it was really entertaining. I thought we got quite a lot out of it, and especially with the rematch already set up for Money in the Bank. We all said last week that we thought Cena was going to win that match. Kai, again, we are ridiculously wrong.
Yeah. Well, I remember when I was sat there watching the match, and I remembered that we'd all said that Cena was going to win, and then there was part of me going, but if Kevin wins, how awesome will that be? And I didn't think they were going to do it, and they did it, and I thought it was amazing. And I'm reading news now that apparently the creative team are kind of going back on themselves, trying to decide whether to go with the... Because traditionally, they would have had this rematch so that Cena can get his next win and everything be... Cena can get the win back and everything's back to normal, blah, 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 blah. Well, apparently... Yeah. It's down to Vince McMahon now, apparently, but they're saying now that it could possibly be another win for Owens, or at least a sort of screwy finish, you know, not a John Cena win, basically.
I'm going to come back to, a bit later on in the show, I'm going to come back to the frequency of these events and how that affects the storylines going forward and the pacing of storylines particularly. But we're kind of rushing from here and the Money in the Bank within 2 weeks. Do you think that's affected all the kind of pacing of this particular storyline more than any other?
Well, it's a bit different to how they normally do it, but, you know, the landscape's changing and that's how they're going to run with it. But after seeing such a great match at Elimination Chamber, I'm looking forward to the rematch. So, you know, bring it on, I say, you know what I mean?
Dermot, we come to you. Your thoughts on the match, what did you think about it?
Yeah, I thought it was a great match, match of the night. And I suppose when you've seen so many John Cena matches, what you've seen before kind of works against you at times. And there was a lot of times in that match when it got to a certain point, I was like, oh, here we go again. Cena's going to win now. He's going to get this. Like when he hit the springboard stunner, I was thinking, okay, that's the same formula we've seen in the open title matches. They kick out of the first AA, but then he hits the stunner and then the AA and he wins. So, like, yeah, I thought it was a great match and I was really invested in it. And I'm not sure how I actually feel about Kevin Owens winning. It's like you come in your first match, you beat Cena. Where do you go from there? Like, unless you're going for the world title, it's almost like anything he does next is going down after beating John Cena. But, I mean, obviously, as debuts go, it's a way to make an impact. Everyone is going to know who he is, as he said.
Absolutely. And what about the kind of play we're getting between the two characters? Are you enjoying that? I think it's a fantastic little camaraderie going on here behind the scenes, creating what's going on in front of the scenes.
Yeah, I think they have really good chemistry together, both in the ring and their promos. Like, they're so opposite each other in so many ways that they just seem to be able to play off each other really well. And the promo segment on Raw was probably the highlight of Monday night for me. Kevin Owens' promo was great, and then John Cena came out and cut probably an even better promo. So it was a great segment.
Going to jump to the next match in the card. We've got Neville versus Bo Dallas now. What were your thoughts on this one, Dermot?
It was an okay match, but I think just trying to follow the Kevin Owens John Cena match for anyone was going to be very difficult.
Yeah.
And especially like in Corpus Christi, where the crowd is traditionally a quiet crowd and don't seem to get into much. They just seem so deflated after the end of the previous match that I think Neville and Bo Dallas worked hard. And I like Bo Dallas seems to have a bit more aggression in him now. That I like that. But the match for me felt a bit flat. I was glad to see Neville get the win. It wasn't a bad match, but it was tough for anyone to follow the match that came before.
Yeah, now, Kai, last week, everyone except myself said Neville was going to win this match. I basically went for Bo Dallas based on the fact, and I did say this, that I thought they could keep a bit of a feud going for a little while. But Neville took the win. What were your thoughts on it overall?
I've got a kind of 100% co-sign with Dermot there. You know, that was exactly how I felt about it. It fell a bit flat, but it was always going to after such an amazing match before it. You know, when you put Daniel Bryan, Batista, and Randy Orton out at WrestleMania 30's main event, and it's always going to get that sort of, it's always going to get a flat reaction at the beginning after The Undertaker's lost his streak. You know, it's always going to be a bit like that after a John Cena loss, you know. So yeah. it was okay. I will watch their next match and hopefully, well, I know we got their, didn't we get a rematch on Raw or something? But I'm liking the feud. It's a good feud.
Right, okay, we're going to jump into the next match. Obviously, the Intercontinental Championship match in the Elimination Chamber featuring Ryback, R-Truth, Sheamus, Barrett, Ziggler, and Mark Henry. And I think they certainly surprised us all by giving Ryback the win on this one. Looking back at the predictions from last week, everybody said Sheamus. Everybody on the panel last week said Sheamus was going to win that match. And Ryback took it. What were your thoughts on it, Kai?
Well, it seems like Creative had Sheamus as well. From the news that's coming out today, Sheamus was the original winner up until the very last minute. I enjoyed the match. I thought it was good. It was a different style to the first one. Yep. The only thing that I can really, and I told you this earlier in the week, the only thing that I can knock about both Elimination Chamber matches is whoever booked the pinfalls had the timing extremely wrong because there's something went wrong because the timings just seemed to sort of be very anticlimactic of when the final pinfalls happened and people were eliminated. It just didn't seem to click at the right moment. But, you know, that's my only knock about it. I enjoyed it. I thought that the Sheamus being trapped in the pod thing wasn't put over well by the announcers because I didn't realise to laugh. It took me having to go to Twitter to find out that Sheamus had locked himself in the pod on purpose using that Irish cross, yeah. Whereas all the commentators said that he used the cross to unlock himself out yeah. of it. Yeah, so it felt like a real botch on the production side when watching it, or a really shitty WWE storyline. If they'd have put over the fact that Sheamus had locked himself in there and that was a heel tactic, then it would have been an even better moment. But, you know, that's not Sheamus's fault, that's the commentary.
Right, okay, I'm going to jump to you, Dermot, because in response to what Kai has said about the match and the timing of things, I thought maybe that could be more to do with miscommunication. But overall, I felt it was going to be an advance for the match. I thought it was going to be much more of a brutal match, more of a chance to show off who was going to be the bigger man at the end of the day, and good move by Putin and Mark Henry in that respect, getting another big man in instead of Rusev. But what were your thoughts on how it was played out?
Well, I suppose we've seen so many Elimination Chamber matches in the past that you have these expectations, and sometimes, like, that's not the performer in this particular match's fault, but you have so many expectations of what an Elimination Chamber match should be.
Yeah.
And again, I didn't think it was a bad match, but it wasn't great. And again, the Corpus Christi crowd were completely silent for large parts of this match. Like, they just didn't seem to be into it at all. And yeah. I think the performers were a bit put off by that. I really enjoyed the bit with Sheamus locking himself in. I thought that was probably the highlight of the match for me, the heel tactics. And then when he kind of revealed that he'd been, like, he was kind of pretending like he wanted to get out, but then he revealed he'd had himself locked in the whole time. I thought that was really good. But Ryback winning, I think it's an interesting move. Like, I think everyone else who was in that match has had a run with a title before, and they've shown what they can do. I mean, Dolph's had 5 runs and Barrett's had 5 runs with the IC title, and I don't think they've done, like, look where they are now. They're in the exact same position. Exactly. So, I mean, maybe let Ryback have a chance and see what he can do with it.
I'd be interested to see if it does help going to progress him as a talent as well. So over the next kind of couple of months, the next pay-per-views we get. I'm going to jump straight into the final match of the card, Dean Ambrose against Seth Rollins. Now, we know that Dean Ambrose took the win by disqualification, so didn't get the title belt. Interesting play at the end of the match. Jumping to the predictions, Kai. Basically, everybody said Rollins was going to win, so technically, in a way, he held his title. Technically, everyone was right, but technically, everybody was wrong.
Yeah, I enjoyed the match, but it kind of took the wind out of the sails at the end. Yeah.
Someone's got a call.
Sorry.
Anyway.
I'm going to keep that in.
Being heckled by a ship. anyway, yeah. When it came to the final match, it took the wind out of the sails a little bit because it was a really good match. And yeah, I really don't know how I feel about this one. If the storyline pays off and it works well, and you know what? Part of me's going, I really wish they'd have given this to Dean Ambrose. How much would it have hurt Seth Rollins to give Ambrose the title for a month? You know, it really wouldn't. If Rollins was to get it back next month or at in time for SummerSlam to face Brock Lesnar, I don't think it'd have hurt him a lot. But like they say, I think it was Heavy Set put a photo out on GroupMe earlier this week with Dean Ambrose holding the tag titles, the WWE title and the Intercontinental title, and he's like posing with it, even though he's never held any of those titles.
Yeah.
And that's the point. You hold it and the casual fan sees you with it and you are their champion. You know, you are in that contention.
Yeah, it's creating that association.
Yeah, he's been built by association and hopefully it's going to pay off and it's going to be a great ladder match at Money in the Bank.
Okay, thanks, Kai. And just kind of summarising, I mean, Shaver, I really enjoyed it overall. Was it the greatest pay-per-view? No, I would certainly say I'd give it maybe 7.5 out of 10 personally, but that's just my opinion. Unfortunately, I've had to say goodbye to Darren. I just had to go, which leaves just you and myself, Kai, going for the rest of the show. So that kiboshes our quiz I had planned for tonight. We can keep that for another week. But let's just go straight into things that wrestling taught me.
Things that wrestling taught me. This week, wrestling taught me if threatening to smash your colleague's head into cinder blocks doesn't get you a promotion, just steal his paycheck and everything will be okay.
quite loving this segment. If only for the music. This is an excuse for you to have a little sing along.
Oh, I love it.
Anyway, let's kill that there just now, shall we? And let's move on to the next part of the show. I'm going to chat a little bit about what's coming up at Money in the Bank, and also kind of want to chat about the special events and are we going to still be getting more of these going forward. But let's look at the card as it stands for Money in the Bank, shall we? First up, obviously, we've got the rematch with John Cena and Kevin Owens. Now, obviously, this is looking like it's going to be a stormer of a match.
Yes. Yeah.
You have to say, but so excited you can't speak.
Exactly. It's going to be a great match. That's.
I mean, we're in a position where we've got a 2-week build, and I don't think this one needs much more than that, the way it's going.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't need the build. It's about the match. And if we get any promos like we did on Monday, then it's, you know, if we get one more of those, then I'll be set. I'm ready for this match. I want to see it. You know what I mean?
Even that post-match promo that I played at the start of the show as well that we got after the Edge Elimination Chamber match.
Yeah, it's just Kevin Owens seems to be, and I didn't realise that English is Kevin Owens' second language until I read it on. Have you heard his recent interview on Chris Jericho's podcast?
I haven't, no.
He's been on Chris Jericho's Talk Is Jericho earlier this week, I believe it was. It was just before Elimination Chamber. And he went and he discussed about, he basically told his life story to Chris Jericho. And he says that he learned English through wrestling because he used to watch, he's French Canadian, so his family speak French. And he grew up watching wrestling and he'd be using English words. Like the first English words he used to say were slobber knocker and stumping a mud hole. And he said, I learned English through JR basically. And then he'd be with his mates and older kids and be telling him, no, you know, those aren't actually English words. They're just what JR says. But yeah, I think he's it. So, I'm really liking Kevin Owens at the moment.
Absolutely. I mean, how long can you keep him kind of juggling between NXT and the main roster then?
I think it will be. I've heard that it's going to be about 2 months. I hope that it's no more than that. You know, I think he'll defeat Finn Balor. I don't know. He pronounces it Balor, so right. I think he'll defeat Finn at the upcoming July special event in Tokyo, yeah. And then I think he'll lose it to Samoa Joe at the next upcoming NXT pay-per-view. But then again, that's if Samoa Joe's going to stay down in NXT for a while, which I hope he does do. I think Samoa Joe needs to be the new face of NXT for a while and then come up in about... I'd be bringing Samoa Joe up post-Survivor Series, probably.
So there's a lot of question marks around this whole thing and the different possibilities that they could possibly do. I mean, obviously, in the short-term future, we need to look at when they do schedule that match between Samoa Joe and Kevin Owens. Does it wait as long as the next NXT TakeOver event, or do they just go, let's make it happen on TV? Or do they create some other way of doing a special show on the network because they have the option to do so as and when they like? You know, there are different possibilities.
I don't think there's a rush. I think that Kevin Owens can be the Brock Lesnar of NXT now and turn up when he likes. You know, if he misses a week, it doesn't matter. I know they film it in 4 week sections, don't they? Problem for him to go down for, you know, one day or one weekend to NXT and film that and be on TV there, you know, for one or two of the shows. He can turn up and then Samoa Joe can win it back, you know, for NXT. That's, you know, I think that'll be at the next NXT TakeOver event though.
Right, okay, that's fair enough. Now, continuing on with the card that we've got for the Money in the Bank event, we've got Dolph Ziggler and Neville, Roman Reigns, Randy Orton, Kofi Kingston, Sheamus and Kane, 7 men so far in the Money in the Bank ladder match for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship match contract. Well, mixed bag of names there. I can't personally see Kofi Kingston coming out of anything, but, you know, there's a lot of guys in there who've already held titles. Who do you think is going to be best placed going through that match?
Originally, I had the thought of Sheamus.
Yeah.
Seeing as though he didn't win the IC title, he'd hold the Money in the Bank. I think he's the one with the most to gain from that. I really hope they don't give it to Roman Reigns, because I think he can get a title match without the Money in the Bank, and I think it's believable. I did have the thought that at SummerSlam we'd see Roman Reigns versus Dean Ambrose versus Seth Rollins in a triple threat for the WWE title. And then I start thinking to myself, well, where would Brock Lesnar come into this? Mm. So at the moment, I'm putting this prediction down at the moment. I might A or E it later on. I'm going to go with, it's going at SummerSlam, we're going to have Brock Lesnar versus Seth Rollins for the WWE title, and we're going to have Dean Ambrose versus Roman Reigns in a number one contenders match.
I think there's certainly good possibilities in there. And certainly looking at the lineup of the match itself, we've got an interesting group of guys in there. You've got Kane in there as a ladder holder, basically. You've got Neville, you've got Kofi Kingston and Dolph Ziggler in there for some good spotty bits. And obviously Roman Reigns, Randy Orton and Sheamus to kind of carry the main thread of the match, most likely. I think it should be a very entertaining match. And it's whether or not they add an eighth man into that as to what we really get going forward from it. So I think Raw next week's going to be particularly interested in with that respect.
Yeah.
If I was to say now, before we know if that is the full lineup, I'd like to say it's going to be Sheamus, but for some reason, I think they're going to give it to Roman Reigns. But
really hope they don't. I think that's going to be the fans don't want Roman to be given.
We know this.
yeah, exactly. He shouldn't be. The way to get him over with the fans is to have him lose for a while. You know, they had him lose at Mania, and I gained a hell of a lot of respect for Roman Reigns for losing at Mania and not winning the title. They've had him, and I just think that if he loses this Money in the Bank, he can still be champion by Survivor Series if they want him to. All he needs to, if we go with my prediction of Rollins versus Lesnar at SummerSlam, we have Lesnar win it as a babyface. And we have Roman Reigns turn heel to go against Dean Ambrose, and then Reigns wins it, and it's Reigns versus Lesnar, and the heel and face have flipped again. That's a match that I want to see again, and I could see him then taking it off Lesnar later on in the year.
Right. Okay. I mean, there's a lot of there's question
there's
marks
a lot
that
of
come
fantasy
that.
Booking that I'm going into yeah. there. You know, that's what I'm saying is Reigns. What I'm basically trying to get across is Reigns doesn't need the money in the bank. He's believable to get a championship shot whenever they want to give it him. Sheamus, on the other hand, or Neville, or Kingston, Randy Orton's in the same sort of category as Reigns, but those sort of guys are the guys that need this booking tool.
I've got question marks about what Randy Orton's place is at the moment. I mean, he got 2 weeks off after Payback, came back at Raw there after the Elimination Chamber. Where does he fit into the bigger picture with storylines going forward? I'm not sure at the moment, and I think they need to really tell us where he really fits in, because otherwise he's just literally there as a hand, and that's all he's really doing. I don't think
yeah.
that's a great place to
yeah.
be.
Yeah, Orton's just sort of in the middle at the moment. He's come back from his injury, and he seemed to be, you know, on top of his game, yeah. and you know, he still is on top of his game, but if creative ain't got anything for you, they ain't got anything
right
for you.
Yeah, and that's a question mark that's not good to have.
You know, it's not Orton's fault, but no. then again, it's creative's fault, because, come on, this is a, what is he? Is he a 10-time champion now?
Isn't he 12, I think?
Is he 12? Well, he's 12-time champion,
yeah.
and he should be able to, you know, he's got how many years in this business? He's been in WWE for over 15 years.
Yeah.
That's the sort of character that should be built enough to not need a title to be in a storyline.
Yeah, you got to wonder what's going on anyway. Let's move on to the tag team match that's been announced for that, the New Day versus the Primetime Players. Now, we mentioned the Primetime Players earlier on the show, get a bit more attention, and I think they deserve it. Are you looking forward to that match in general?
Yeah, because I do hope that the Primetime Players get a chance at some point, but yeah. they've been reunited, and I don't think everyone realised, you know, in WWE anyway, that, oh, when we flip New Day heel, they're going to be one of the biggest things in the industry yeah. at the moment, you know. I think a lot of fans realised that it had happened, but a lot of the WWE guys didn't think it would. And they're big at the moment, and I don't want to knock them off just yet.
No.
So I think New Day will be going over Primetime Players, but they can use as many heel tactics as they like,
yeah.
you know, and keep Primetime Players looking strong.
No, oh, interesting. I think that's probably the way it's likely to go, but well, time will tell, obviously. And the other match on the card at the moment is a ladder match for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship, with champion Seth Rollins defending against Dean Ambrose. Now, it's looking like we're only going to get one Money in the Bank ladder match, and they're kind of balancing it out with this ladder match. Are you looking forward to it? I think it's going to be pretty good fun, to be honest.
Yeah, I think it's going to be another great match. You know, like someone was saying on the WIR earlier this week, Ambrose and Rollins had an amazing showing last year at Money in the Bank, and it's just completely, you know, it's storybook written, and, you know, it's like a fairy tale ending that these two would face off 1 year later
yeah.
at Money in the Bank, and really just, they're going to have a great showing. Whenever these two get in the ring, it's, you can't fast forward television, especially when there's weapons involved. I mean, look at what they've had so far. They've had Hell in a Cell matches. I think they've had a street fight somewhere. They've had, you know, now a ladder match. It's going to be absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, I think it is. And it's got a lot of weight behind the two guys as well, with the in terms of the story they've been building between each other, and how much, you know, that's going to continue over the years as well. You can see there's no way that even when this feud finishes, their paths are going to cross again, and they're going to cross again, and they're going to cross again
until the end of their careers.
Absolutely.
Because that's how great they are. You know, it's going to be absolutely fantastic to watch the next 10 years of their careers.
And I think that is just a treat for us all the way through, as fans tell you. I'm going to kind of segue from talking about this into talking about all these special events and stuff we've been getting, the kind of combination of pay-per-views and special events. We've had Ting of the Ring, we've had Payback, we've had the Elimination Chamber, we've got Money in the Bank. You know, how much can they sustain all these extra events that we've been getting, like, almost every second week? It's obviously very entertaining for the fans. It's a lot for the storyline to be carrying at any given time, trying to do 2 week builds all over the place, and a lot in terms of the talent to make sure that that they're performing at the right level within 2 weeks of the previous pay-per-view match. Do you think it's something they're going to try and sustain, or that they want to sustain?
I knocked off for a second there. The extra special events you're talking about.
Yes.
I think that it's something that when they want to, it's all up to WWE now, and when they need it or when they want to make a special event, they can do it because they've got their own platform. That's the great thing. I know Dan touched on it earlier about this Tokyo house show. Yeah. WWE have just gone, well, you know what? There you go. There's a network special for you. When it comes to this one this past weekend in Corpus Christi, the Elimination Chamber, that was originally meant to be a house show, and it suddenly gets changed into a pay-per-view event pretty much. And one of the better pay-per-views of the year. When it comes to this, the fans are the winners here, because we're the ones that, we're paying £10 a month and we're getting this amazing product.
Yep.
And it also shows if we want to get a house show ticket, then they could just as well be changed into something great. You know, I know we're never going to get, a house show turned into WrestleMania, but if we're going to get something as good as Elimination Chamber, count me in, sign me up. My £10 is there to pay for the WWE Network. Absolutely fantastic.
And I think we can safely say that the Tokyo event is the extra special event for July. I can't see them trying to peg in another one somewhere in about there. And what pay-per-view do we have in July?
It's Money in the Bank's this month.
Yeah.
Battleground.
Maybe they do want to do something then.
I think the Tokyo show is looking better already. And we've only had one match really. Well, two matches really announced.
Yeah. I think, the thing is, and we need to be very clear on this, the last 6 or 8 months, even the pay-per-views that we've not looked forward to have delivered better than they have historically. So even Battleground, no matter what we see at this point in time, could actually end up being a really good show. So let's keep our positive minds in play here going forward.
Well, the rumour is that Brock Lesnar is set for Battleground pay-per-view. So,
I've heard that. Yeah.
So, that's a Brock Lesnar match, which makes it a must-watch pay-per-view. That's the great thing about Brock Lesnar. You bring him in and he will deliver on the pay-per-view buys, on the network subscribers. He's there for that.
Yeah, it's all automatically pretty much one of your 5 stars you want to get at an event, really, just having him on the card. Personally, though, I do worry that, we're going to get all these different special events and then it's going to come and cost us further down the line if they're not careful what they do with the writing team. And that's my only concern. And it may not even be anything at the end of the day. They actually may have it well under control, well planned out, but they're not really giving us any kind of real information as to what they're really planning, what they want to do. They also could use this as a way of saying, look, we've been giving you this for £10. Let's make it £13. That's all right, isn't it? Because we're giving you all this extra stuff. That's cool, isn't it? You're happy with that.
I can't see them doing that. I really can't. Now, they are stuck at that. The problem with making as catchy and as great as the $9.99 tagline is...
$9.99.
Oh, I'm sure Cataclysmic is rolling in his grave now, even though he's still alive.
$9.99.
But the great thing about it is that for us fans is that they've kind of stuck themselves at that $9.99. $12.99 doesn't sound as catchy as that.
But they're not saying it as often as they used to, and even in Canada would have an issue with $9.99 anyway because they don't pay $9.99.
Yeah, well, we don't really. We pay double what the Americans pay.
But in our currency, it is $9.99.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah, but we do pay double
so
what the Americans.
So it fits in that sense.
Yeah.
And we probably helped set that price ourselves because when we all talked about it before we got the network, we always said, we'd probably be quite happy to pay £9.99 rather than dollars.
Well, I turned around and I said I'd rather pay $9.99 and get it for £6 like the Netflix. That was always my point. But since I've had the network, I'm there going, I really don't give a shit. I will give you my £10. I will give you my £10 because having extra pay-per-views, having NXT, having a backlog of matches. I mean, I know I say that I don't find that much time for wrestling to keep up with the the every week shows, but every week I am watching an old elimination leading into Elimination Chamber. I was watching old Elimination Chamber matches leading into Royal Rumble. I was watching old Royal Rumble matches leading into WrestleMania. I was watching old Money in the Bank ladder matches and Mania main events. It's something that's absolutely fantastic, and it's worth £10.
Yeah, absolutely agree, 100% wholeheartedly. And now that they've finally got it on Apple TV as well, just an extra way for me to watch it, you know, at my convenience, wherever or whenever I want to. And that really makes the big difference for me, because a lot of the time I am looking at where or when I can fit something in. So yeah, the convenience of it makes it fantastic. The options on what you can watch are fantastic. I don't know if you've heard, but apparently they've slowed down putting like older content onto the network because they're not getting the viewing figures. Folk want to watch all the new content, all the new programs that they're putting online, and we've still to get a few of those debuts, so we've got lots to look forward to over the coming months. It's going to be
is there any of the upcoming shows that are being debuted, or some of the ones that have debuted in the last couple of weeks, that you're watching and enjoying?
To be honest, I've not had any chance to watch anything extra recently. I've been kind of doing my best to keep up with the different podcasts I listen to, and that's all the weekly shows. Hence why I only watched last week's TNA last night.
Yeah.
So yeah, I've had no chance to watch anything.
There's me trying to make a talking point for the show, man.
Who asked you to do that? Who asked you to step in and make a talking point? No, I did see one episode of the Culture Shock.
Yes, I watched Graves. The Seth Rollins one.
I saw the Marvel one. And
oh, no, that's... Sorry, I'm thinking of the Renee Young show.
Oh, you fool.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't got around to it.
It was all right.
Yeah.
It's only a minute long, so it's not going to eat into your time, but...
Yeah. I tell you which one I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to the one that they're heavily promoting at the moment, the prank show one.
Yes.
I think that's going to be fantastic. If it's all genuine and real, like a lot of these prank shows are, and it's not like a scripted WWE thing, I think it's going to be really, really funny, because we'll be able to see the side of... I remember years ago I read... They released the books, WWE books, WWE Road Stories, and On the Road, and all the wrestlers would tell stories about their time on the road and stuff like that, and the pranks and ribs that they'd pull on each other. And this is one of those things that I'm really looking forward to seeing, because ribbing is as much a part of WWE as WrestleMania. You know, that's a part of wrestling.
Actually, I'll tell you what I also did watch. I did watch the first episode of Too Hot for TV with Jerry Springer. Now, I've not had a chance to watch any of the other ones, and my plan is at some point to go back and watch some more of those. I'm not sure when, but I do intend to. And it's a good, fun show. I mean, is Jerry Springer the right person for it? Oh, he's okay. I don't mind. I've got no problem with him. But the actual content, looking back at seeing some of the stuff that, while I was perfectly normal back in the Attitude Era, it's, you can see it's a bit racier compared to what we get now. And why, to a certain extent, a lot of folk want to go back there. But I actually don't see the need to at all. Looking back at it specifically, I actually don't see the need to go back to it.
No, I think that's something that the network's helping me understand, is that as much as, you know, but then again, people say I'm very middle-aged at heart, so I'm not really the sort of rebel teenager that really wants that really wants the Attitude Era to come back. But this part of you that goes, oh yeah, I do want those racy storylines, and then this part of me going, do I really want some fat guy coming down pretending to be a pimp with a load of hoes? You know, as much as it'd be, you know, nice to see some beautiful women on the TV every week, it's not really the sort of thing that I think's really appropriate nowadays. And also, I want to see matches like the dark match between Samoa Joe and Tyson Kidd. I want to see Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn. I want to see these technical matches, not the big gimmicky matches that are a little bit racy.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things we need to take into consideration is where we are with the product at the moment. We're getting fantastic matches all over the place, even on Raw, SmackDown, NXT, all over the place. We're getting so many good matches that a year ago we just didn't think we were going to get to this point, really. So many folk were getting fed up with the product at high levels. To be where we are now is a fantastic thing to see, and I'm looking forward to what we're getting over the next number of years, let alone weeks, months. There's so much still to come, and that's just fantastic as fans. I'm going to keep the show moving though, Kai, and just to round off on my thoughts on these special events, is obviously is a key thing for getting folk to buy the network, to subscribe for their $9.99. And I don't know what their current target is, but whether it's 2 million, 3 million, 4 million, it's only going to help at every level to get those numbers up. And long may it continue, as I say, as long as it doesn't cause any problems for the writing team trying to get all this done on top of their previously hectic schedule that they work to anyway.
Yeah, well, apparently they prefer, the writing team prefer that it's 2 week sections, because then they only have to come up with a storyline for 2 weeks, which doesn't sound like a very creative team to me, but there you go.
The thing is, it's a huge creative team they've got now. It's something like 30 writers or something working there. And yeah, they should be looking at the bigger picture. They should be thinking 6, 8, 10, 12 months ahead as to where they're planning to go. They should be knowing now what they want to do at SummerSlam, Survivor Series,
WrestleMania,
Royal Rumble, and especially WrestleMania next year. They've got a couple of things in the basket guaranteed, they always do, but they should be planning pretty much the card for our next WrestleMania now,
yeah,
so
I
that
agree.
They know what they're working to. And if they're going to work to a 2 week, or then we'll think about the next 2 weeks after that, it's going to really cause problems going forward. And that's where my concern lies. Just putting it out there. Hopefully that's not the case.
Yeah, completely agree with you.
So, getting into the last segment for the show, since we're not getting to play Killer, I'm so disappointed.
Because everyone ditched us.
Anyway, the 2Ds dropped. let's just go into our final thoughts for this week. Do you have anything you want to bring up?
I'll tell you what I watched last night, and I don't know where I'm going with this because I'm just completely I'll tell you what I watched last night. I watched Wrestling Isn't Wrestling again. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
If anyone hasn't watched this, it's a YouTube video called Wrestling Isn't Wrestling, yeah, and it's a big thing about Triple H's career, and I'm actually going to show it to two of my mates, both of them, who absolutely detest wrestling. One of them, she's really, really against wrestling. I'm trying to get her on the show to do a debate with someone and trying to convince her that wrestling isn't a blood sport, as she likes to call it.
Anything but...
and I'm trying to explain to her that it's theatre, it's Game of Thrones, it's all these big sort of story, like TV shows, and it's and the whole point where it says, it's that moment at the end where it says, a lot of wrestling sucks, but when it's great, it's fucking brilliant, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that just gets you... It really gets you like goosebumps because you're there like, yeah, this is the epitome of what wrestling is. And if anyone hasn't checked it out, it's 24 minutes long.
Yeah.
And that is, it might seem like a big chunk, but it's a brilliant video. Wrestling Isn't Wrestling. So check that out if you still haven't seen it.
I'd probably use the word mockumentary to describe it as well. You know,
yeah.
Really kind of
and you know what? Like Ant put on Facebook so many months ago, if you don't like wrestling and you think it's a bit boring, there's a load of beautiful women in it as well.
Whee! So,
yeah.
Okay, I'm going to go into my final thought, and I'm just going to put something out there to hopefully put an end to something that I've had going on recently. I keep getting a certain wrestling theme in my head. I don't know why. It just keeps coming back and recurring every so often. So my hope is by playing it as my final thought this week, or playing a little portion of it anyway, that it puts it to bed and it doesn't keep recurring in my head. Now, when you hear it, I'd be curious to see what your thoughts are as to why it keeps coming back into my head.
Will I know whose it is?
Yes, you will certainly know whose it is. Here it comes. I'm going to cut it off there. And so, yes, that has been coming back in and out of my head for the last probably 4 or 5 weeks.
Why?
I don't know. That's the point. I don't know.
Do you want the number of my psychiatrist? Because she might be able to help you with this. You know, sit down and talk to you about your problems.
I just like to point out very clearly that my family are safe. I'm not planning to do anything terrible. Although I may have some issues with some other podcast hosts and some other podcasts, but that you know, nothing to worry about because I'm in other countries. It's fine.
Oh, God. I can't believe that.
But yes, I'm hoping that puts it to bed and it doesn't keep coming back into my head because I don't know why. It just keeps coming back and it sticks there for hours. And it's like, get out.
Yeah, that's going to be in my head all day now. That and the bloody What Wrestling Taught Me.
What, this one? I had such good fun when I was looking for something for that, actually. And that one is the one I stuck with. I just kept going back to it. I was like, yep, we're going with that. That's the one. Anyway, but that's about all the time we've got for this week. We've actually run a bit longer than I thought we would, especially because it ran down just the two of us.
Yeah. Bob Leave.
Yeah. Bob Leave.
And, people turned off when David and Dan left.
Why would they do a thing like that? It's just that's appalling. Appalling behaviour. It's all about us, let's be honest. Anyway, to round off the show this week, thanks for listening, everybody. Don't forget you can email us secondshiftpod@gmail.com or you can tweet us @secondshiftpod on Twitter. We'd love to hear your feedback, thoughts and comments about any things we've chatted about this week or anything you'd like to chat like us to chat about next week. Please, please, please spread the word. Let's get the numbers up on listeners for the show. On the DSJ NP network, you can find us on iTunes and Podbean to make sure everybody knows that. Spread the word. We want to get the numbers up, up, up over the next few months. That would be fantastic. But that's all from me this week. I'm going to sign off. Kai, say where we can find you and say your goodbyes for us.
Well, let's first of all go with you can find Dan from earlier in the show.
I was
going
to do that in a minute.
Oh, sorry. I'll go with my stuff then. Right, because I'm going to plug some of my own. You can find me on Twitter @HWIR. And you can also find, I've got a gun to my head at the moment because they're trying to get me to promote this. My production company, Uncle Roger Productions, we've had a bit of a hiatus, but we've got a new superhero series coming out on YouTube later this month. And we've also got our first serious sort of drama series coming out in September. We're filming that over the summer in August called Born Free Then Caged. That's going to be, it's very, very... It gets a bit dark at times. It tackles mental health, actually. Right, okay. But it's a brilliant script, and we're really, really glad to be making it finally. And that'll be available in September. But yeah, the fun superhero one comes out next month. So you can find us on Facebook @UncleRogerProductions. Like, subscribe, Twitter, it's @UncleRogerProd. But yeah, that's my plug for this week.
When you said you had the gun to your head, were you holding it yourself as well?
Yeah, pretty much. I've had them texting me saying, you're going on the podcast, promote.
Just to follow on where you were going before, you can find Dan the Cannon on Twitter @DanTheCannon. And you can find him, obviously, every single week on the AllWrestling.com Week in Review. And Dermid, you can find on Twitter as well @DermidPC, which is @DiarmuidPC. Thanks for being on, everybody. Appreciate it. And not sure who we're going to have on the show next week. We'll start to arrange that, but I'll get that sorted out over the course of the week. And I might even let you know on Twitter who that's going to be. That's all for us this week. I'm out of here. The living legend has now left the building.
Thanks for listening. Bye.